And good morning. Hello, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on this Saturday morning. I can look outside the window and I can tell it's already starting to get just a little bit light. That means the days are getting longer. I mean, light exposure is getting longer. I was walking down the aisle of the grocery store the other day and several bags of natural products caught my attention. And I had noticed them before, but then again, I mean, that's nothing new. They change things in the grocery stores all the time. So I just happened to be walking along, and I saw, and I won't tell you everything they had there, and that's not really important, but what really caught my attention was, and see, I can't even tell you if it's a pure powder form, meaning it's been either freeze-dried or dehydrated, or if it was more of a, well, I started to say slightly juicy, gummy, gooey form because I bought one of them. And I principally bought this particular berry called acacia or acacia, however it's pronounced, just because it has rich antioxidants. I thought to myself, I'm going to try that. And of course, you know, sometimes you don't know until you try something. But I tried mixing it in water, and I'm telling you, it was just about it. And I thought to myself, I am not going to successfully get anybody to take this stuff because it was just very greasy, it was chunky, it didn't mix well. I tried eating it with a spoon. I thought to myself, just because I can force myself to do it because I think it's good for me, I don't know that I can recommend it to anybody. I mean, I could recommend it, but it just usually doesn't go well to have a person say, have you actually tried that, Dr. Morgan? Do you know how yucky that is? Anyway, the next thing they had there, they had bags of pomegranate. And of course, I'm going to double check and see if that's in a dehydrated version or form because, I mean, I would venture a guess that pomegranate powder would probably mix very easily in water. And so let's just say that is the objective delivery system, is to take a little bit of pomegranate powder, add it to water, shake it up, and drink it. So that would be easy for anybody to do. And when I looked on the label, I think it said it had 14 grams of carbohydrates, so I'm sure the taste is just splendid. It's probably like a dessert. I'm going to read this to you right here. It has to do with pomegranate. Now, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. You may actually have a question that you're thinking about, or you want to join the conversation this morning, but yes, I would really encourage you to call. I wasn't able to take calls last week, but I'm here now, so I can take all the calls you want. Actually, let's go to the calls first, because I kind of owe it to a few people. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Great, thank you.
I've got a question for you. I was wondering about what your thoughts are on, like, the silver amalgam, you know, mercury-filled fillings. I guess the question is, like, I've had mine for over 30 years probably, and I'm wanting to know kind of the controversy of, do you get them out? You know, are they really affecting you still or not? I guess that's my question.
Well, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but let me tell you my experience, okay?
Okay, absolutely. All right.
I hadn't been to the dentist in probably 10 years, so I went to a dentist. It's not important that I mention his name, but he's here in Jacksonville, Texas.
Okay.
And as soon as I showed up, he looked on the form. He said, oh, this is what you do for a living. I said, well, yes, but it may not be exactly the way that you think. And all of a sudden, he starts on me saying, I didn't say anything to him. So he starts in on me telling me that his father was the pioneer of silver amalgam fillings.
Mm.
And so I said, really? You know, I didn't make any comments about that. He said, oh, yes. He says, they're absolutely the greatest invention since sliced bread in the wheel and water indoor running water and toilets. And I'm going, okay, you know, I wasn't going to engage him in that because, you know, he's fixing to do something to my mouth. I don't want him to take vengeance on me.
Sure.
So he keeps going on and on and on, and he just won't let it rest. And I'm sitting there going, you know what, I can just barely take this any longer. And so he feels, I don't know why he chose me as the whipping boy that day, but he did. And he just kept laying into me over the idea of silver amalgam fillings and who would even want to use anything else and how it's just bogus that they could ever have problems. Now, you realize if you walk into a room and you only hear one opinion on a matter or one person spewing forth information, I'm willing to guess that there may be other opinions beside that person's, right?
Right.
If you wanted to, just for kicks, you could get on the website called Amazon.com and you could go over, scroll down to the section called books, and you could scroll down to the category called alternative medicine. Now, I do not think that is a bad word. I just mean that just means there is a differing point of view from medicine. So that's all I'm going to say. I think I've told you before, my father was a drug salesman for 25 years. I think we used to own a Rexall pharmacy. I sort of understand all that. I'm not saying I haven't mastered the same way that's been doing it for 50 years, but I have 25-year experience with it. But anyway, to make a long story short, what if you typed in silver amalgam fillings or natural dental care? I think you're going to come up with so much more information. And would you agree with me that knowledge can be power if it's used properly?
Absolutely.
Because how are you supposed to know what to do and what your choices and options are unless somebody gives you that option? So if you were to do that, I bet you anything, you'd come up with 20 books just real, real quick that would very accurately and precisely flesh out the pros and cons on silver amalgam fillings. I don't even know how many books I have, but I will tell you this. I have not seen any pros to them. Okay, here's the pro. They can take a drill, a dental bit, high-speed drill, when they can put a burr bit on it, and they can completely drill out your enamel and the dentin and the infection. Okay, that might be good. But what are they going to fill it with? So, yeah, it will fill and take up the space.
Sure.
Now, that's an oversimplification, but that would be accurate. But what happens when they take sheep? And I realize a sheep is not a human being. I didn't. That wasn't a way that I called you a sheep. Because I know that you're not a sheep. You're a beautiful human being. But even when they do the silver amalgam fillings, one of the videos that I used to show patients was from the University of Calgary in Canada, and it shows what happens when these mercury vapors leak out and they come in contact with, you know, brain cells or nerve cells in the brain. And I'm telling you what, you'd be sold if you saw that video. Maybe you can get on YouTube and type in mercury vapors from silver amalgam fillings, and I want to say it was snail neurons, so I'm not comparing you to a snail, but I would rather them use snails in this experiment from brain cells than human beings, right?
Right.
But it's just completely devastating. Now, what I would say is to try to be positive. Some people are able to detoxify and neutralize toxins much better than others, right?
Right.
Have you ever heard of a person that they have to be careful if they're around somebody that smokes cigarettes, or if they walk into a store that has a lot of pesticides, or if they go into a fabric shop where the dyes and the chemicals might be a little bit stronger, or if they walk by a kiosk in the mall and somebody is spraying designer perfume every different direction, and then before you know it, they're going, you know what, I was feeling good, but I'm feeling really bad right now. Those are kind of pathological detoxifiers. So for some people, the silver amalgam fillings, they present a huge, huge challenge to them. So that's one of the reasons why we have more natural dentists than we ever have before. But they're choosing materials for your teeth that actually help greatly improve your situation, and they're not toxic. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. So I guess in a second part to that question is, if you've had them for so long and they don't give you troubles, should you get them out?
Well, this may not be the best way to answer your question, but one thing that I've done for a long time is just ask questions. That's probably the only thing I do. But I just pretty much take up space the rest of the time. Maybe don't do. But I've asked people, okay, you've had all your silver amalgam fillings removed. What's happened to your health? And I just listen. If they tell me, you know what, I can tell you this system's better, I have more energy, I sleep better, I just kind of note that, and I kind of connect the dots. I'm thinking, okay, which systems were they having problems with? And I'm just trying to find out what cleared up or what resolved or what improved once they had them removed. And I've asked a lot of people, and they really couldn't tell me that anything was different or better. So I know I'm playing it from both angles, but I'm just telling you the truth.
Okay.
I've had some people tell me that it's just been phenomenal, and other people, you know, I don't really know that I could point to. But I've got to believe that you're far better off with fewer toxins as opposed to more toxins.
Absolutely, I agree.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
In the book of Peter in the New Testament, he recommends that we greet each other with a holy kiss. But if you were in public and there was a man that had green goo coming out of his nose and mouth, would you be kissing him with a holy kiss?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, you're going to avoid extra toxic germ exposure,
yes,
aren't you?
Absolutely.
But yeah, that's my take on it. But what I would encourage you to do, and it may not be a great answer, is at the very least, if you look up the information, even if it's just free online, Dr. Hal, I want to say Huggins, I have several books written by him that I bought for next to nothing at half-price books, stores, which I like. But even if you typed in, I had a book the other day that I purchased. I love it. I paid one penny for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, the shipping was $3.99, and it was a little bit torn and tattered, and it was filled with Post-it notes. But to me, fine by me. I'd rather buy that than spend $25 on a new one with free shipping. So if you look up a little bit of information, I think you're going to be very, very convicted one way or the other. But I think I know how you're going to be convicted.
Okay.
Because usually it's a sign of intelligence, great intelligence and character, if your name begins with the letter T. Now, I don't know that if that's you or not, but anyway, but I would present that to you for your consideration to at least do a little bit of study, because if you do it, then you own it. That way, if somebody asks you a question, you can always say, well, look at these three studies right here on what happened with silver amalgam fillings.
Yes.
And the last time that I checked, I have never been to a dental office where they said, I'm sure they do it now, but I haven't been where he said, we want to present all the negative studies on what we're about to put in your mouth first so you can make an informed decision.
Right.
That would be like this is going to be horrible what I'm going to say, but could you just pretend that I have tremendous love and care in my heart when I say this? It may not come across that way.
Sure.
But I was reading studies this morning on the high failure rate of using chemotherapy for both brain cancer and for lung cancer. And I realize that was the only two forms of study. But in one particular hospital, the failure rate or the death rate within 1 month was 50% in one hospital. And I'm going, I think I'd like to know that before I engage in treatment at this particular facility, and I'm just shocked.
Wow.
And so they would use different techniques where a person might have a 9% of chance of dying within 2 weeks, but at one hospital it was like 50% chance of death. Mm. And it's been my experience. This is not a pleasant death. That would be easy for me to say, ma'am, sir, you're going to be like a million times. You're going to live for 24 months and be able to set your affairs in order and make everything right and end on a good note, and you can love your family and do everything you need to do. But if you take one treatment at this hospital, you're a goner. we need informed decisions, but I don't know that I have ever heard of an oncologist really being forthcoming with all the research that's on the particular. Anyway, I'm sorry,
right.
I'm rambling now.
That's
anyway,
good.
Did I even answer your question?
Yes, you
okay,
did.
Okay, all right, good. Well, I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate
you
it.
You are welcome. Thank you for your phone call, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there is a phone line. Once again, open at 903-586-5257. I had several people call me this week and say, I can't get in, so I'm trying to do my best to answer as many questions as possible. Thanks. Okay, welcome to the program. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent.
I have a question. You talked on more than one of your shows about something that you can eat or suck on or something that will, like, change your taste for sugar, but I can't remember what that is.
All right, I'm making a mental note. caller referred to several conversations in the past that were a home run for her that she's interested in. But anyway, that was Jim Nima.
Jim Nima.
It's right, spelled G-Y-M-N-E-M-A, Jim Nima.
Fantastic.
And there is a time and place to use that. If somebody's really having a rough go of it, then yeah, that can be helpful.
Fantastic. I'm trying to change taste buds and get sugar to taste not so delightful to the kids. And
how are you going to do that?
I don't know.
Are you kidding? This stuff is like crack cocaine to a child, isn't it?
Yes, no matter what the age is.
Would you believe me if I told you that there is a master control hormone in the human body that really regulates all that? It tells you how much sugar you're going to crave and how much you want. It's called insulin.
Right.
And so, I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes you just kind of have to jump in and say, you know what, I'm going to do everything within my power to try to reduce refined sugars that I give myself and my kids. And about the only way that you can really do that is by going with what I'm going to call real food. You can't just say, I'm going to come off sugar, but you're eating things that rapidly convert into sugar. And so if you say that's chips and junk food, well, I wouldn't argue with you. Mm-hmm. But real food is just one of the greatest techniques of all time. So if God made it, I would say that's a pretty good bet that it's going to have some tremendous benefits.
We're working on that. We really are. But
then you are good. You're a good woman.
Oh, thank you. When they're out and away from me, it's hard to control that.
I thought that your kids had microchips installed in their brain that you could control remote control.
Almost. We're going to do that next week.
Did I tell you that time that we had to put a collar on the dog in the backyard to keep her from running out in the street?
Mm-hmm.
I told you that story already?
No, I don't think you did.
Well, there were two modes. There was one mode that would deliver a light shock. I'm not trying to get anybody angry at me, but, you know, we didn't want the dog killed and run over because we liked the dog. And there was another mode that was a vibration mode, and the dog just found that annoying. You know how, like, sometimes your phone will vibrate?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't annoy you, does it?
It depends on when it is.
Oh. Well, I guess the dog felt the same way about it, but one day my wife walks, you know, across the, you know, in the where the back door is, and she looks out the window, and the dog is, like, jerking and shaking like it's being shocked over and over again or vibrated, and meaning the collar was vibrating, and she looks, and the one-year-old is walking around with a remote control just pushing the shock button over and over and over. Isn't that horrible?
That is horrible.
That is a horror. Don't tell anybody I said that, though, okay?
It's our secret.
But I removed the batteries so it didn't happen again. Poor dog. Man, live and learn, right?
I'm saying. One other question, fever blister. What causes it? What can you do to, I mean, I understand the good food, but when they come about.
Well, I would say there's a very, very high correlation between stress and viral infections and fever blisters. I mean, there's a type of a cold sore that comes from a virus or a fever blister called herpes simplex. And there's several things that I like. I mean, it's indisputable. If you look at the medical literature, taking lysine for some people is all they have to do. It's an amino acid. So for some people, that's it. For other people, do you know what elderberry is?
I've heard of it, but I'm not real familiar.
Well, to me, it has a pleasant taste, which means there's probably some things in nature, even though they look good on the outside, they just taste atrocious. But elderberry is one of the things that I can usually get people to partake of when they have fever blisters. And so it can come in the form of elderberry zinc lozenges. Now, do you know what the price of a roll of elderberry zinc lozenges would be?
Not a clue.
$1.30 maybe. $1.29. But I'm telling you, I love those, and I think that's probably something every mother should have in her purse. But if you suck on those, what you're doing is you're generating the release of zinc ions, and zinc is an element that's very, very critical to have antiviral activity and also to heal skin lesions around the mouth or fever blisters. All you do is suck on them. And so without sufficient amounts of zinc, which, let's just say it this way, the more sugar you eat, the lower your zinc levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that zinc can be overdone, but if I had like a fever blister, I've never had one before. I have never had a cold sore. I know people that it just have had terrible bouts with them. But what I'm always recommending is if we can drastically cut off the sugar supply, then we don't feed the virus. Some of them are just due to severe stress.
Okay.
What do you think about that? Either one of those applicable to your situation?
Yes. My little one, his immune system became stressed and coughing and such, and then he got the fever blister. And it happened another time, and I didn't write anything down, but I'm thinking it was the same thing, kind of a cold, hacky coffee, that kind of thing, and then we got the fever blister.
Well, see, I have a child that has experienced this thing, and I can tell you right now, when I've examined him, it's always been dairy, sugar, and stress. Dairy, sugar, never been anything else. I've looked at every possibility. And so zinc lozenges made from elderberry, which elderberry, I'm not saying it's the same as echinacea, but it's just a very gentle, unique herbal remedy that can be really, really good. And the way that I would think about these things, what can we do to support the healing process after it's developed? And for all you know, a couple of zinc lozenges a week with elderberry, they may do wonders for this child.
Okay. Is this Drug Emporium? I can find it there.
Yeah, you betcha. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then one other question.
I hope you don't ask me which aisle it's on, because I'd probably have to fumble around until I found them.
You've become a mind reader. That's exactly what I was saying. UTIs. A friend of mine said that she is using D-mannose. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, ma'am.
And
well, is she telling you that she's getting great results when she uses D-mannose?
Yes.
Okay, so between D-ribose and D-mannose, I mean, those things are naturally occurring in cranberries.
Uh-huh.
And so that's one of the reasons why a cranberry extract or maybe cranberry juice, which in its pure state, that stuff is pretty tart.
Yes.
But I tell you what, that is a thing of beauty, if you ask me. Do you ever enjoy the cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving?
I do, and I have learned to make my own, but here again, it is very tart. So now then, how do I sweeten it and make it palatable?
Well, can I tell you what my wife does?
Yes, please.
I hope this doesn't come across as a distraction from your question, but she makes this dessert called apple cranberry crisp, and she starts off with green, you know, those tart green Granny Smith apples.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're green, but I like that. Do you like green apples?
Yes.
Okay, so she cuts up apples in slices, and she puts just plain Jane cranberries in a glass Pyrex dish. And if I'm not mistaken, she uses the juice of two lemons, and I realize what I'm about to say is going to be highly offensive to cardiologists across America listening, because I listened to the cardiologist on Janet Parshall on Wednesday, and it was just almost more than I can bear, but I didn't say anything about it. I just endured it, you know, took my punishment, but a stick of butter.
Okay.
And so she takes, you know, organic old-fashioned oatmeal, and she kind of makes a light crust on top of these sliced up apples and cranberries. And she does use just a little bit of sugar, but this is like, what, a once-a-year type dessert.
Right.
But she just covers it with lemon juice and butter. You talk about bringing the flavor out. Yeah, it comes across as tart, but I'm telling you what, if we had 30 people at the house, there would be none of this left. None of it is left. It is completely devoured by everyone. So, yes, it's a little bit tart, and it's just mildly sweet. I mean, you could make it a whole lot sweeter if you want to put a cup of sugar in it, but you don't have to. The lemon juice and the butter bring out the flavor unlike anything else.
Wow.
Anyway, but cranberry juice, cranberry extract, cranberry capsules, cranberry tablets, cranberry tea, anything with cranberries, you're going to get that D-mannose and the D-ribose from those. Those are just naturally occurring compounds, and that's one of the reasons why it's very effective at preventing toxic E. coli bacteria from adhering and colonizing the urinary tract.
Okay. Well, I was like all over the board today with this, and maybe it will intrigue some people to ask another question.
That's what I think of every single time. You did a great job, kiddo. I'm giving you an A+.
All right. Thank you, and have a great
day. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. There is officially a phone line open in case you want to call. It is 903-586-5257. All right. I just pushed the button. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I went to my oncologist last Friday, and my glucose level, 78. My potassium level finally got up to 4.1. But my BASO, and I don't know what that is, was high. It's
that's called 212.
2.12.
That's a type, that's a very unique type of a white blood cell called a basophil. And so you have some white blood cells, some are called segmented neutrophils, or sometimes they're called neutrophils. You have lymphocytes, you have monocytes. Have you ever heard of somebody getting mononucleosis?
Yes, sir.
That tells us that kissing is just really, really bad. You should never kiss under any circumstances, right? You do know that men are evil if they try to kiss you, right? I'm joking. But anyway, if a monocyte count were very, very elevated, then that would be part and parcel to a viral infection such as mononucleosis. This is just an example. There's another type of a white blood cell called a macrophage. There's another type of white blood cell called an eosinophil, but when basophils are elevated, something is going on within your immune system. Your body is trying to overcome something or correct something or do some great work. We just have to find out what that is.
Okay.
So, for example, we have very specific types of white blood cells called natural killer cells. And I'm telling you, they do a great service. So if they're cruising along, you know, squeezing through a blood vessel into an organ and they find a mass of cells that are not good, like a cancer cell, you want literally those white blood cells to completely surround it and corner it. Because that's what they do. Immune cells, they are trying to remove anything that is not doing you any favors or not good for you. And sometimes that can be due to toxins. Sometimes an allergy will cause a basophil to go up, but also, so was that everything, or is there more?
Well, my MCHC level was low.
Mm-hmm.
It was 31.6, and that was the only thing that was, and plus I've gained 6 pounds, and I was walking 4 miles a day, and during hunting season, we quit. You know, we live out here in the country.
Is that because you wear a coonskin cap?
That's because we don't want to get shot.
Oh!
But anyway, and Carl and I have not got back to walking our 4 miles yet. We are going to, but we have not, and I've got to get that off. And I went off my eating habits during November and December, you know, like 2 or 3 days. So And that's when I gained the weight, and so I've got to get that off.
You mean just 2 or 3 days off your normal pattern?
Yes.
Oh,
and my
goodness.
Glucose,
okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay off sugar. My glucose level is 78. Now, is that good, or do I need to get that lower?
Well, that sounds great.
Okay.
But everything's relative. Your MCHC, if you look that up, it has to do with how well your bone marrow is producing. When I say bone marrow, maybe what I'm referring to is stem cells. We have stem cells in the bone marrow, and this is where all the components of the blood are made. So whether it's a red blood cell or it's hemoglobin that's being put together or it's blood platelets or white blood cells, all these come from stem cells, and they can make almost anything that you need or require if they have what they need. So when that's low, something is putting a stressor on your blood manufacturing capacity. So we have to determine, do you have a chronic low-grade infection? I mean, there's one marker called WBC. That stands for white blood cell count. If I ever see the number at 5.6 or lower, that makes me think there's a low-grade infection.
It's 5.7.
See, you're just right on the edge. And so, don't take what I'm saying as being critical, because I'm not trying to be that way at all. But what I would prefer to see it is if we reverse those numbers. If I saw that as 7.5, I'd think, you know what, that's a pretty good clue that everything's working right. So these are just clues. And chances are, when you go to your doctor, they're just not going to even cover any of this stuff at all, are they?
I know. That's why I want to get these where they're supposed to be. And
well, at 5.7, that would be one of the things that I would let me start over here. Have you ever heard the phrase before that you're only as strong as the weakest link in the chain?
Yes.
And you realize I'm not trying to be negative by saying that, but every human being that I know, they have their natural God-given skill sets and they've got their strengths, just like aren't there some women? I mean, if it weren't for women, we probably wouldn't have a lot of compassion and mercy and grace. So thank the good Lord for women. But everybody has their own strengths and weaknesses. And when you start to see a white blood cell count at 5.7, that's one of the things I would have to prove to myself, is I'm going to ask the question, is there any possibility that we have a low-grade infection that's brewing somewhere? And you know, for the average person, they're going to say, are you kidding me? I feel great. I don't have any problems. They're just telling me they're used to what they're used to. But I would look for some type of low-grade infection, so I can kind of go down the list. Either it's in the ears, or it's in the sinuses, or it's in the jawbone, or it's in the teeth, or it's in the tonsils.
Well,
or it
could
be in the gallbladder or the urinary tract. Urinary tract ones are pretty big ones with women.
I know that my potassium is 4.1, so he said that my kidneys are finally working right, and he said that...
I don't know that I would say that, because 95% of all potassium is easily absorbed. It's like the easiest mineral to absorb of all time. And
yes,
so
sir.
When potassium starts to hit the lower end of normal like yours is, I mean, I'm just very, very curious what's going on within your bone marrow. I know this, you've got to have potassium to preserve the integrity of your muscles. And so, it's very, very critical. But then again, potassium is so critical to ensuring that your blood flows at a very high rate of speed. Now, I'm not really trying to make a joke by saying this, but would you agree with me that when blood comes to a screeching halt and stops moving, that's not a good deal?
Right, that's right.
I mean, I know I cut you off. That's just an oversimplification of what he told you.
I wanted to say this too, Dr. Morgan, and I don't know if this would have anything to do with anything, but the left side of my throat is kind of
being
irritated.
Oh, my goodness. What else do we need? That's all we need. Something is, you got this process that's going on, so I would look for an infection somewhere, either in the tonsil, the sinuses, or the teeth. Could be the ear, too. So we just have to pinpoint that. So if that's where the weak link is, we need to go after that. And so either there's several strategies. It could be strategy A. What do I give my immune system to make it easier for me to, quote, kill, destroy an infection? I mean, the woman that just called on the phone, you remember how she said, what about fever blisters? I kind of jumped into cold sores real quick. I'm not saying they're both the same thing, but they might as well be. But, for example, I mentioned the role of zinc in helping the immune system express good function.
Yes, sir.
That is one thing that I have learned the hard way over and over and over the last 30 years. The immune system likes closure. Could you imagine what would happen if you had can I use the knee as my example?
Okay.
Let's just say that your knee hurts all the time. It's been injured in the past. It never feels better. And your knee is just killing you. Well, without going into great detail, how does that benefit your body to have a knee that hurts nonstop all the time? For all I know, it is just spewing forth huge amounts of inflammation, and that's the very thing that's going to bring a person down. So we want to have closure with that. We want to say, okay, what are our options here? I read one article this week that said, if you have horrible, horrible knee pain, what are your options? And several doctors in the study said, we recommend that you rest as long as it takes. And I thought to myself, okay, is that valid? And so they put it to the test. They let people rest. And what they found out real quick was that didn't do anything but make matters a whole lot worse, because you lost your strength, you lost your balance, you became weaker, you started gaining weight. And they actually found out that when you've got a very painful knee, you're far better off doing specific exercises, even though it hurts initially, but it's part and parcel to repairing.
Yeah, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Exactly. But if you have some, if your attention is drawn to the left side of your throat.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't know if that's primary, secondary, or tertiary, but it's worthy to go after. So either we just support your immune system so it can rise to the occasion and repair this, or we start techniques or therapies. Have you ever heard of oil pulling before?
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you've done some oil pulling?
It's been quite some time.
I would recommend you get going with that today.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation to you. Do not delay.
Okay. Let's see, the oil pulling I used to use was, what was that? Sesame seed.
Sure.
Okay.
Some people do well with coconut oil, and if all you have in your cupboard is coconut oil, we're going to go with that.
Yes, I have organic coconut oil in there right now.
Or if all you had was olive oil, I promise you, I'd go with that too.
Okay.
So you do have several markers. Were there any more markers that really come out as being high or low? Or what did your doctor tell you when you had the blood work done? What great advice?
He said, get the 6 pounds off, he said, because weight gain can, you know, cancer, you don't want weight gain. And he talked about the potassium being good, but I'm glad we had this conversation.
Well, and I'm glad it was good, but I would rather look at it from a different perspective. If it's at the lower end of normal, there's a difference between low normal and optimal, right?
Yes.
And so you're kind of, aren't you a tweaker? You'll tweak this or tweak that to improve yourself?
Yes, I know there's always room for improvement.
Oh, with all of us. Me especially. Yeah. Everybody could tell you that.
And the only thing that I have done different on my diet is I might be drinking more coffee. You know, in the wintertime, I drink more coffee. Do I need to quit doing that?
And that's a very, very good question. So I'm not judging you at all. I'm not against coffee. I think coffee's fabulous. But I find some people, when they drink coffee, maybe about 5% of them, it just doesn't go well. It just throws everything out of balance. In some people, that has to do with how you're genetically wired. So how do you like your coffee?
I like it with half and half and organic coffee.
Well, certainly organic coffee. That is by far and away the very best choice that you could have. So good call. Way to go. So did they measure your cholesterol levels by chance?
Okay, cholesterol would be, no, let's see, what, that's potassium. That's glucose, Carl said.
Well, do you see anything else, like, besides,
it doesn't say cholesterol, what would it be, LDL, or?
That would be one of them, yeah.
Let's see, I'm trying to find it.
But those would be things to consider. I mean, can I give you an example? It is, what I'm looking for is,
What would be another one for cholesterol? I don't see.
Well, there's not another one for cholesterol either. If it's not on your lab work, then they just didn't do it. But the point I was going to get to is, it's extremely common if a person has a low grade infection or infection, even if they don't know they have one. The cholesterol always goes up. I was reading a story about Tibor Rubin. He only had an infection for 20 years in his bones, but he picked it up when he was a POW in the Korean War. And, you know, there's not a lot of press written about that, but, I mean, a person can suffer for 20 years with an infection that just doesn't go away. It's just a matter of if we can get your immune system to truly have closure and be relieved of the pain and suffering. So, no, they probably didn't measure cholesterol if you're not finding it easy.
There's a LDH. Would that be it?
That's a liver enzyme.
Okay, that was 192.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not on there. If you don't see it easily as a lipid profile, it'll say total cholesterol, triglycerides, LDL, HDL, VLDL, stuff like that. But it's a very common finding. When those are elevated, the root cause is a low-grade infection, because that's what cholesterol does. It always increases when there's low-grade inflammation, which brings me to the next point. I'm trying to think, what type of person do I want to be and do I want to become? And let me just explain that briefly. Do I want to wait for disaster to overtake me, or do I want to see the writing on the wall? So, not for you so much, and maybe not for your husband, but I would say the average person that's 40 years of age or above, if they do not smoke cigarettes, then there's like almost an 80% chance that they are going to die from one of four diseases. You care to guess what those are? It's going to be either cancer or stroke or heart disease or diabetes or, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia. That's just 80%. That's what the studies show. So you have two different types of people. One person says, oh my goodness, everybody in my family is sick. They have problems. What am I going to do? I need to go to the doctor and take cholesterol-lowering drugs and take blood pressure medication and take diabetes medication, and I'll take this drug and that drug. And before you know it, you're taking 26 prescription drugs. And that was actually a lady that came in to see me recently. She had a bag of 26 drugs. Or you say, you know what, I'm going to go on the offensive. I'm going to do everything I can to take steps to improve myself now before I develop a problem. Now, I do not remember exactly where it's found in Proverbs. Maybe it's chapter 22, maybe it's chapter 23, maybe it's 24. I think I could find if you gave me a few minutes. But it says essentially, the wise man foresees danger and avoids it, but the simple pass on by and are punished. Have you ever read something like that before?
Sure have. Yes, sir.
So, I think I just spoke the truth to everybody that's listening. It's not directed just at you. It's me, too. The writing's on the wall. We're all going to have some type of health crisis unless we take a different course of action and we go on the offensive. And that's what I want you to do. Because if all we do is just show up to the doctor and he says, this looks pretty good, I think we need that was good advice to lose 6 pounds, right?
Yes, it was.
What else did he give besides that?
Well, that's about it. He said, keep doing what you're doing. But he did want me to have a mammogram the mm-hmm. next time I come, and I said, I don't want one. It hurts.
Well, did he offer you thermography at all?
And he said, and I said, what about what is that?
Thermography?
Ultrasound or MRI. And he said that he would see about it, so that's all I know.
Well, at least he didn't say, no, I really prefer, ma'am, massive amounts of radiation to your breast tissue. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he always tries to do what I want to do. So.
Well, then he is a very good physician to you, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay,
yes,
excellent. So I would say we've got tremendous room for improvement. We just got to get after it and tackle all this.
Yes, sir.
All right. So
I'll start the oil pulling
mm-hmm.
and take zinc.
Yeah, and there may be four or five things that are just a whole lot more important. But you realize that's the weakness of radio. I can't actually reach out there and over the radio and pinpoint where your problems are coming from. But you would be wise to pay heed to what's going on in your body, because you don't want to be the type of person that, like in Proverbs, the simple pass on by and are punished. No, no, no. We want wisdom and knowledge, don't we?
That's right. That's right. Okay. And how often would I do this oil pulling?
Well, how serious is your situation?
I would say pretty serious.
Then what would your guess be? Pretty frequently, right?
Maybe three times a day.
I would. I was going to say twice a day would be great, but that would be twice a day. You're going to see if you can start to turn this around, because that can absorb a lot of toxins. It can get rid of toxic bacteria. Just read everything you can about oil pulling, but I think it's a great technique. Number one, it is totally non-toxic. Of course, you know I'm extremely biased toward any remedies that are very good, and they don't kill people.
That's right.
Has got to be one of the greatest remedies of all time.
Yes, sir. And how much zinc?
Well, okay. Can I make just two observations here?
I really
don't want you leaving this conversation thinking that is really getting rid of all your problems. But I'm giving you something that you can do to improve this. But the zinc lozenge, just do whatever you feel like is good. But there may be like a bigger issue that you might need to get under control, kiddo. So I'm just going to leave it just real simple at that. But just do the very best you can. And if we need to dig a little bit deeper to find out where your problems are coming from, then we can do that too.
Yes, sir.
All right. I wish you the very best. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
I may be coming to see you soon.
Well, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I've got to be just real careful how I word these things, because I don't even know how many times this has happened, but a person will call me a year later and say, oh, yes, I've got cancer of the sinuses, and I did the oil pulling for 2 weeks like you told me. It didn't cure it. I'm going, oh, dear, that wasn't what I call a complete recommendation. Come on. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Dr. Morgan, I have a friend that was diagnosed.
By the way, I've got to interrupt you for a second.
Yes.
I called you Larry by accident the other day, and it's Johnny, not Larry, right?
No. missed it on both of those.
Oh, Will Rance. Okay, I tried. Go ahead.
Okay.
Start over about your friend again.
Okay. Had a friend was diagnosed with rectal cancer this last week, and this friend wants very much to do something natural about this as much as possible, and I didn't know exactly what to recommend, as she's really in the mood to do any kind of dietary thing that it takes.
Do you have a sheet of paper handy?
Actually, I do.
Okay. I'm gonna be probably a little bit bolder than what anybody would like me to be, but it's what I really want to say. So take it as encouragement. Don't take it as me being critical. And I'm not trying to start a firestorm of an argument, but I'm going to venture a guess that if a person has a generous, luxurious coating of beneficial microbes in their rectum, it's pretty much impossible to have rectal cancer. So one of the solutions would be, what can we do to flood the body with more beneficial microbes?
Okay.
So probiotics, fermented foods, that's going to be a home run. The other one, and I would say if there's rectal cancer, we don't have any time to goof off here or get it wrong. We got to get it right. So if it were me, I would write this down. It's called ketogenic diet. That's spelled K-E-T-O, and then genic, like it comes from the word Genesis, the beginning. G-E-N. My goodness, I'm going to have to write it down. I don't know why my mind...
K-E-T-O-G-E-N-I-C.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Ketogenic.
Ketogenic diet. That is what this lady friend needs to take a look at very, okay. very seriously. We don't have any time to waste. Mm-hmm. I have seen a lot of these go very, very badly, and usually it revolves around a person just not doing the right steps. They've done things, but not enough of the right things to turn the tide. And the other thing that I would look at, there's an herbal remedy. There's actually a couple of them that I think might be a benefit. One is called SEACT, or the SEACT formula.
I'm familiar with that. Uh-huh.
Okay, and the other one would be called the Hoxie formula.
Okay.
I right. always pronounce it Hoxley, but it's not Hoxley. It's Hoxie.
Yeah. And she's talking about something, oh my goodness, it has, I believe, maple syrup and cottage cheese, and I can't recall the name.
Well, flaxseed oil and cottage cheese, yes, because what that has a high sulfur and lots of electron bonds, and that part's good.
Mm-hmm.
But no maple syrup.
Okay.
It's just that right now you've just got to go all in, because any ounce of sugar, your cancer cells are going to suck it up like there's no tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, one of the things they used to do, and I hope this makes sense to you, back in the 90s, they tried some experiments with colorectal cancer using what's called butyric acid. Have you ever heard the term butyric acid?
Yes.
See, I knew I was dealing with a genius when you called. I can't tell you anything you don't know. But butyric acid, these are the short-chain fatty acids that are manufactured by beneficial microbes that live in the colon. So it goes back to the first thing that I said. The more beneficial microbes, when you have a really good diet that's high in vegetable matter like broccoli and bok choy and asparagus, things like, you know, high mm-hmm. sulfur vegetables, which is what I'm a fan of with rectal cancer, the bacteria, in turn, they eat that undigestible plant matter or the fiber, and they convert it into butyric acid. But the experiments involved two different techniques, and both of them were successful, but they couldn't deliver them successfully to people because people rejected them. Let me explain why. Butyric acid tastes like vomit. And they literally told people, we'd like you to drink this mixture, but people won't do it.
Yeah.
It's just that gross. The other thing they tried what's called butyric acid retention enemas. And I hope you don't need me to explain what that is.
Right.
But they were just trying to gently apply butyric acid to the lower colon area because they want those cells to normalize, and it showed great promise. But that was the compliance was an issue also. Now, on the upside, guess what foods have generous amounts of butyric acid? As long as the cows get to eat rich, luxurious grass, they can make plenty of butter, and butter is high in butyric acid. How about that? My recommendations are lots of butter.
Okay.
But those would be probably the two or three things that I would look at very, very intently. And I realize I can't know all the different things. I can tell you what popped in my head, and it's probably a very, very negative thought, so please forgive me. But have you ever listened to Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family?
Yes.
Years ago, he's had several guests on there, and I just rarely get to hear a program, but sometimes I like listening to him. And he was talking about the homosexual lifestyle, which I realize this has no relevance. This is not relevant at all. But could you imagine the amount of severe toxic germs and infections that a person would have that's in that lifestyle? It's just beyond belief.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Could I ask another question about
of course, a
separate problem?
Sure.
My wife has recently been to the doctor, and they discovered a pretty serious UTI in the specific bacteria. I'm not sure if this is specific enough, because I think there's two kinds, but
there's a toxic version. There's one that might be a little bit milder, but for the sake of the urinary tract infection, we're dealing with a toxic version.
This is an E. coli.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if we've got anything else, any other.
No, 95% of all UTIs are E. coli. Just 95%.
Okay.
So there might be 2% Pseudomonas aeruginosa, and there might be one Shigella, Salmonella, or Staph, but 95% are E. coli.
Okay, well, she she was, well, we didn't want to do, well, for Pete's sakes, early in the morning. What's the antibiotic that makes you have stiff stiff tendons and sometimes they break?
Oh, it's called Cipro.
Yeah, they wanted to do Cipro, and she said, no, Cipro, because she's been having tendon problems.
Now, how did you know that, though? You looked it up, didn't you?
Well, yes, sometime back, because I took some, and I had stiff tendons. And
listen, I believe everything you're saying.
And I said, don't do that. And they, she did this, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago or something like that.
And then she
started having stiff tendons in her ankles and knees and stuff. And so we decided, well, we're not going to do Cipro anymore, even though it seemed like it did pretty good on the UTI. But they gave her one that's for highly resistant bacteria. And she's on the second round of it right now. I don't know. It wasn't tetracycline. They wanted to do that, but it's another one.
It's probably like Macrobid or something like that. Or Bactrim, Macrobid.
I think it may be that.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. She's asleep right now. But anyway, I was just, I didn't know. She's been hurting across her back. And is hoping, in a way, that it is the UTI that she's experiencing. She feels like she had it for. She seems to be usually asymptomatic with UTIs, and just generally, like you were saying, gets used to feeling bad. And she started taking the antibiotic, and then after about 3 days, began to feel remarkably better. And then towards the end of the week of taking it, she started to feel worse, and that's whenever they prescribed another week of antibiotics.
You just don't even know. I wish it was only that simple to take an antibiotic and you could cure every infection. I wish it was that simple.
Well,
usually what I'm doing... I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you have a recommendation about what to do... I suppose she needs to go ahead and continue this all the way to the end of the prescription. But
the only thing that really matters right now is what does she want to accomplish with her life, and how does she want to feel? Does she want to revisit infection after infection the rest of her life, or does she want to go on a different path?
I think she'd like to go the different path, and she seems to be pretty motivated right now.
Does she like to eat sweets or sugar?
She does.
She's asleep right now. You can say whatever you want.
She does a pretty decent job of staying away from them, but I think she does. You know, we'll indulge like these little tiny chocolate bars. We'll do those from time to time.
Well,
you know?
I don't want to say that's bad. Unfortunately, I've got 5 seconds left, and I'm off the air, so I apologize about that. But if you will. Let's pick this up next week, and let's just tackle it from start to finish. That way I can do a much better job for you, okay?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate you, buddy. Bye-bye.